Hello, my fans, friends. Welcome to the Rich Herring podcast feed, powered by Acast Plus. Thanks to everyone who's come to see the Can I Have My Ball Back tour so far. It's been going really well. I've got a 4-star review in The Standard, 4-star review in The Telegraph, who once called me the worst comedy experience of the year, so that's a turnaround. People have been coming, people have really been enjoying it, and it's getting better and better. The only gigs this week are both in Pocklington, the town I was born in, near York. There's a couple of tickets left for the evening show and a few more tickets left for the matinee, I think about 4:30. But love to see you there, Yorkshire. Pop along. Check richardherring.com/ballback/tour or richardherring.com/gigs to see if I'm coming near to you. There are tickets left for nearly every show in the tour. I think Norwich has sold out. And a couple of gigs in London could do with your support as well. Anyway, please listen to the podcast. Do spread the news about the podcast to your friends. Listen as much as you can. Numbers are slightly down, which may affect the future of this podcast. So just leave it playing, even if you're not in the room. Love you. Now sit back, relax, and enjoy whatever it is you're going to listen to.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Leicester Square Theatre. Please welcome a man who, despite being a grown-up, spent 6 hours in the theatre watching a play about a child wizard this week. It's Richard Herring! Thank you very much. Hello. Thank you. Welcome. Hello. Welcome to Richard Herring's Leicester Square Theatre podcast. I was hanging around with the cast of the Double Deckers today. They've grown up quite a lot. Peter Firth was there and the other ones. They call it Rehearsal Stubber, so I don't know if that's going to go. Who remembers the Double Deckers? You do, don't you? You must remember. Come on, David, you remember? Help me out with the Double Deckers. Melvin Hayes, was he in it? Brinsley thing, yeah, he was in it. Old Brinsley was in it. Love that show. Come on board with the Double Deckers. Fun and laughter is what we're after on a London Double Decker bus. Peter Kay. So I'm the new Peter Kay. I'm the Peter Kay of stuff that people don't remember. So that's my... Which is better in a way, isn't it? Because it's the first time you've heard it. I enjoyed that song, thank you. Just no good singing up above the streets and the houses. Oh, sorry. Dawn Airy should be fired. That's all I'm saying. Dawn Airy. I listen back. Jeffrey from Rainbow died today as we're recording this. Oh, sorry. I love you. Sorry to break it to you. Who we work with on Fist... He did the Fist of Fun radio show 20 years ago. To be honest, I'm amazed he lasted as long as he did. I genuinely can't believe it. Who would have thought he'd outlived Dale Winton, who was also on that series? I'm not saying he's cursed.
I've just watched the Rainbow. They took Jeffrey. They sacked him when he was 51, the same age as me. So suck on that, Richard Herring. You're the clever, ironic piss takes of children's TV in the 1990s. You became as old as Jeffrey from Rainbow was when you were taking the piss out of him subtly. They replaced him with a puppet. And I just watched the first episode. Who remembers Rainbow when Jeffrey wasn't in it? You do. Did you like it? They replaced him with a puppet. I mean, that's insulting. And Dawn Airy did that. And I think we should replace Dawn Airy with a puppet. That is what we said in the 1990s. Anyway, look, well, I wasn't here to talk about Jeffrey from Rainbow, though I'm very sad about it. He was a lovely man. Sorry, I won't keep mentioning it. Every time I mention him, people go, oh, no. I thought he might have come back to life since he mentioned it. No, he's definitely... He's there. He's gone for good. Yeah, I'm sorry. He's gone for... Him and Charles Aznavour, they're gone. They're gone. People listening to the home going, why are they talking about these long dead people? What's going on? I went to see the play Harry Potter. My wife loves Harry Potter. I do not like Harry Potter. If you don't like Harry Potter, I've got some advice for you. There's a 2-part play on in London at the moment of Harry Potter. Go and just see the first one. Because at the end of it, spoiler alert, they're like Voldemort goes back, they go back in time, which I've got some issues with. It's not an effective use of time travel. It's not as bad as sliding doors and good night, sweetheart, but it's bad. But Voldemort wins and Harry Potter's killed in the battle and Voldemort is the king of the whole world. It's fucking brilliant. Just go and see that first one. Walk out, go, brilliant. Hey, and then you've just seen one play, which is enough for Harry Potter. It's enough. It's enough Harry Potter, even if you like Harry Potter. Just one play. Apparently it's doing quite well, the play, so... But I'd like to see it that is full for the first one and no one at the second one from now on. Let's try and make that happen for little Richie. The Emergency Questions book is out. We'll be using this during the show. So do go if you're at home, which you probably are, or even if you're not at home, go home and buy it. If you're at home, get out of your home and go to a bookshop and buy it, or go online and buy it. If you're not at home, online or a bookshop. If you're in a bookshop while you listen to this, go and ask them for it. And they go, sorry, we haven't got it. Go, can you order it in for me? And they go, yeah, or you just go on Amazon and get it yourself. Oh, yeah, I didn't get that. Thanks for the advice. How are bookshops still going? I don't know, but well done. This, people haven't realised. I'm quite obsessed with Amazon. I'd like you to buy it from gofasterstripe.com if you can, but I am also obsessed with my Amazon ranking on this. I've got up to as far as number 5 in the books reference fun facts and trivia chart. So that's pretty good, isn't it? As we go to spit, number 5 in that. That's pretty good, isn't it? Yeah. No, I haven't managed to get into the books reference fun facts and trivia section, but if you go to the books reference fun facts and trivia section, there are no fun facts in this, is what I'm saying. There's no fun facts to be had. But there's a book by a man called Hugh Jaspern, who I don't think that's his real name. It's about 52 things to do on the toilet. That's been at number 4 and 3 in that chart all the time, and I would just really like, before I die, just to be ahead of 52 things to do on the toilet by Hugh Jaspern. Am I aiming too high? It's not out yet, it might be fine. There's lots of emergency questions. This one isn't in the book, but this is something I did on Twitter this week, which is I asked on Twitter, which 2 celebrities would you like to see get married to create an amusing double-barreled surname? And I did say to people, I don't want you using ones you've heard before, and it's got to be a double-barrel surname. Still loads of people said, what about Whoopi Goldberg and Peter Cushing? That's not a double-barrel surname. That's her full name would be Whoopi Cushing. That is not funny. That is not funny, and it's also not your joke. Here are some good ones that I got. This is from Greg Jenner, previous guest. Jack Straw and Mary Berry. Yeah, come on! This is from Richard Osman, Liz Hurley and Craig Burley, who's a celebrity. I quite like Edward Albee and Johann Sebastian Bach. Albee Bach. One of my favourites was Andy Serkis and Timothy Oliphant. I think the winner was, and it might not have been theirs, was Desmond Tutu and Shania Twain. And that was quite good. I think it might be a Paul Merton joke, though. So well done to Paul Merton, who's also a previous... Everyone's been on this, haven't they? It's been all right. Oh, I did think of a guy. I had one written down for the cool kids. I had it written down. Lucky, I'll use it for the next one. So, it's... Right, I'll use the rest of the material for later on. Our guest tonight, is probably best known for his appearance on It's a Date, in which he had a date with Harold Bishop from Neighbours, Ian Smith. I mean, fuck, I just want to talk about that for the entire hour we've got. Will you please welcome the incredible Ross Noble, ladies and gentlemen, he's back! Come in, sit down. Come in. Look at all this lovely beer. It's do help yourself. I know you don't drink, but do help yourself.
But
help yourself
I'll
good beer.
Just put that behind it so I look like a hard drinking man. Genuinely didn't know about Jeffrey from Rainbow.
Didn't you?
That's a wonderful way to find out. Backstage there.
You'll never forget. Never...
Not a close personal friend of mine.
No.
But, you know, imagine if he was.
Yeah.
And I just literally was stood back there and he was like, hey, Jeffrey from Rainbow! I literally came out crying. It'll be amazing.
I'm very upset. He was a lovely man. He was happy to join in with his take of him. It was nice.
Remind me to tell you the story about me finding out about somebody I know being dead.
Okay.
Just before. Stop the clock. Write that down. We'll get to that.
We'll get
at a later stage.
I have to ask you about
somebody clapped there. Somebody started it, and I hope that because that'd be good. Or it's somebody that either loves minute taking, some sort of company secretary. I love this. Or it's somebody who's into time travel and's gone, oh, that's something to look forward to in the future. Imagine if I hadn't seen Harry Potter. Luckily, I have.
I know, I have ruined the first part of Harry Potter.
Absolutely.
But don't worry,
it.
They go back in time again and they fix it all using magic.
I
said to my wife, it doesn't really matter what happens, does it? Because magic. Oh, yeah, yes.
Yeah, but for those of you that aren't planning to see it, what happens is Voldemort's there and this wormhole in time appears and just a finger comes out and just prods him like that. And that, and it ends. It goes, yeah. It goes in his eye.
Then Nicholas,
I can't see.
Nicholas Lyndhurst turns up and fucks Helena Bonham Carter. That's what happens. Oh dear. So tell me about you having a date with Harold Bishop in a
Smith. Well, the thing is, when we were filming it, everyone referred to him as Harold all the time. And we were going, he's called Ian. And then people would go, hi, Ian. Like that. Hi, Ian. Like that. Yeah. It was Australian series. And a friend of mine's like the showrunner on it. And he said, do you want to write one of these episodes and be in it? And it's basically like people go on a date. And then, and it's a comedy thing. And then the date can go well. It can go badly. It can be anything you want it to be. Now, here's the thing, right? I could have picked any Australian actress like out there, right? I literally, they had some amazing people in the show, right? And I could have gone, right, who's the hottest woman I could go on a date with? And I thought, you know what would be funnier is if I played a homosexual gentleman and I went on a homosexual date, and then I thought, who could my love be, right? And then I turned to my mate Pete and I just said, it's going to be Ian Smith. And he went, Harold. Off of Neighbours. And I went, shit, yeah. And the two of us laughed for about an hour. And then he... and I started formulating the idea for the story. And then he sent an email to his producer while we were sat there. And, like, within 40 minutes, he went, Harold says, as long as it's not homophobic, he's in.
Right.
Boom! So I had to rewrite it. I'm joking. I'm totally joking. That is a joke. And he said it, and then we wrote the thing, and then we were sat there and we're going, yeah, no, because you know he's known as Harold.
Yeah.
So I said, you know what this is? This is Ian Smith's Pulp Fiction. That's what this is. And then we just kept referring to it as Ian Smith's Pulp Fiction. And then he turned up and then we filmed it. And there was a moment where, because there's all these like sort of flash, sort of short dream sequences in it as well, and there was a moment where I was dressed in a full flamenco outfit and he was in a flamenco outfit.
It wasn't homophobic then.
It was no They weren't camp outfits. They were just, you know, it was this sort of flash forward thing. And we were on a big green screen in this studio. And I had a rose between my teeth. And the two of us were flamenco dancing. You know, you have those moments where you go, oh, I've gone too far. Yeah. But it's so funny because it's impossible not to call him Harold, you know. And what was it? He said something like, in one point, he called me like a dirty little bitch, I think it was. And he just, he went, you dirty little bitch, like that. And the whole crew, and I changed it at the last minute. There was a line in the script. I said, right, say this instead. And he did it on camera. And everyone just started pissing themselves laughing. And we had to do it about five times because the crew couldn't stop laughing.
Did you have to share a kiss?
Did we kiss? Yeah.
Yeah, I think you'd remember, wouldn't you? But that
was a lot. He kept calling me Marge, which I thought was odd. He didn't. Imagine. It was such good fun, though. It was just, we had it was all set, it was in a bowling alley. It was proper production. There was tracks and everything. Oh.
So you've been writing a lot, because I was in a short film that you wrote as well. I feel like you only put me in as a joke for you and your friends. And you're getting Richard Herring.
Because I did put you in there for several reasons. One, because the airfare for Ian Smith was too much for us. And I thought, who's a similar type? I'm absolutely joking. No, I did put you in, partly because I listen to this podcast and you're always complaining that nobody puts you in wanted to ruin your joke.
I don't think anyone see it. It was very good, actually.
Thanks. It was a sort of joke within a joke.
It was a
headmaster, and I did, to be fair, you were my second choice.
Okay, he was the first choice, Nick Frost. That's always my... That's what I was going to talk to Amanda about.
It was somebody you would not expect.
Okay, was it...
No, bear in mind, deputy headmaster.
I tell you, one job I got, they told me who it nearly went to, and what? It went to... it was going to be Justin Lee Collins. This was before the trouble. So if it was Justin Lee Collins, then that's an insult.
Yeah.
Was it Justin Lee Collins?
It wasn't, no, but he did. He's been cleared of all charges now. Yeah. So...
Was it Jim Davidson?
It was one of those things where they said, I said, look, if he says no, we've got to get Richard to do it. And they went, well, he's definitely had some sexual misappropriate stuff.
The other guy they're talking about.
Yeah. And they said, and with Richard, it's 50-50. So, what? Yeah. So, right. He had a little bit of trouble, but he's fine now.
You haven't told us who it is yet.
Alan Jones.
It was only with a snowman, it's fine. You're allowed to with a snowman.
He sang We're Wanking in the Air. That was the original thing. That house, it wasn't even Christmas time. That was literally all jizz. The whole thing.
The jizz man then, so it was a jizz, man made jizz, out of jizz. No wonder he came to life.
Jizz man! You'd just be there with your friend, the jizz man, and it would be fine as long as it remained at zero. You'd be going, this is fine. But as soon as it starts getting a bit warm, you think, no, like that. No, but he wasn't. I think it was fine, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's fine. So we can say he was accused of stuff, but it turned out nothing.
I think it was. I think it was like he'd been on a TV show and he maybe said something inappropriate.
Yeah, I think he was very, whatever it was very minor.
He was completely cleared.
Exonerated. He's an innocent man.
Innocent man. But he couldn't do it because he was touring around cathedrals.
Singing.
So I said, who could possibly play a deputy headmaster?
And I had a moustache.
And then you did. Yeah, and it was a beautiful moment where Richard was sat there. And we was on set. That's what they call it.
Yeah.
We was on set. And you just had a moment where you realised that you were your father.
Yeah.
Weren't you?
My dad was a headmaster. I'm a deputy headmaster before that. Yeah,
having a bit of a freak out.
Yeah, it was
But
weird.
You were very good in it. And
Thank
I thought you.
You
were... shamefully overlooked for the acting awards.
Yeah, the acting awards. Yeah. No other job offers have come flooding in.
Oh, it's disappointing. Yeah. I was hoping I was going to kick it off on people would see you in that and then just go, he's the man. Yeah. And then you'd be off on a sort of Tim from the Office style of set. and then you'd have to come on here and go, oh, I've done another Hollywood film. And I'd be sitting at home thanks listening to the podcast Noble. Going, ha, 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 I've made you successful. But didn't work, did it?
No, didn't work. That's okay. Oh, look, so while I remember, I'll do my thing that I wanted to tell you about just a little. For the last time, I've listened back to the podcast we did 5 years ago. Can you believe it was five years ago.
Both young men.
And I've got to find... Oh, yeah, so...
I'll tell you what, right? See that? That's all because of Attenborough, that.
Yeah?
It's all because of him. Paper straws. Because of all them...
So, on the podcast... 5 years
ago.
Which
is ridiculous, because if you were a dolphin, that you get a straw up your blowhole, it doesn't matter. You can still breathe.
On the podcast...
I'm joking! Somebody went... Ooh.
5 years ago, before I had any children, I was trying to have kids, but it wasn't working. I thought, it's never going to happen. We talked about Doctor Who.
Did we?
And Mike Eve, 2 years ago on the YouTube video, wrote this. Bertie Bassett, a.k.a. the Candyman, was in the Happiness Patrol, not Paradise Towers, like you claimed.
Oh, that was, yes.
And Nicholas Parsons was in The Curse of Fenric, not Time and the Rani. Noble's tenuous grasp of the McCoy era... absolutely ruined what was otherwise a very entertaining chat. Shame. Shame on you, Ross Noble.
And I like the fact that you've had that note on your phone for 5 years. I love the fact, as you were saying that, somebody down there was going, yep. Yep.
It's probably, that's probably him. It's probably,
I'm excited about the new Doctor Who.
Are you? Yeah.
Yeah, very excited. Yeah. And I think these idiots, you know all these idiots are going on about, oh, it's going to be a woman and all the rest of it.
Yeah.
I think, is it a woman? Or...
Is it just another man?
No, has Doctor Who always been a woman, but in the body of a man? Mm. Maybe it's time we seriously discuss trans issues right now. No, please don't. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, well, no. Do you know what I mean? I think it's very exciting.
So
it's
maybe
good.
It's a, like, you know, I don't know what the term is, and I'm not going to use any of them. For fear of walking along a tightrope that I can not only not balance on, I don't understand.
It is best just to shut up. That's why, as you get older, it's best just shut up.
Yeah.
Just don't.
But as we've learned in modern times, that's not what people do. So let's crack on. So maybe that's what's happening with Doctor Who.
Yeah, that's true.
That's all I'm saying. So,
well, you know, it's not important. Again, it's like Harry Potter.
Whoa! Richard Herring said trans issues are not important. Unbelievable. Jesus Christ.
I think it's very exciting. I think she's going to be very good. And Doctor, it's like Harry Potter. It's just made up for kids. Stop being ridiculous about it. It's she can change into anything he or she wishes.
He or she.
Or they.
Or just, yeah.
They. Everyone's just the same. Everyone's the same.
Whoa.
Oh.
Whoa.
What? Some people are better than other people, but definitely not white men. Definitely not white men. We're definitely not the best ones.
not anymore.
Not anymore, eh? Hey. Oh. I tell you who is the white men. That's who it is now.
What, should getting they, all
the... Yeah, we should have the... When's there an International Men's Day?
Exactly.
It'll be good. I'm looking forward to it. So let's ask an emergency question, which might be where we come into this podcast. from the new emergency questions book. Okay, let's try this one.
Right.
Question 272, if you're following at home. Of the new version. This is the new version book. Yeah. Would you rather have dandruff that doubled up as an acceptable substitute for ground coriander? or smegma that tasted like the most delicious cottage cheese?
Well, I would say...
Yep.
I would say the second one would certainly make it more acceptable getting your knob out at a farmer's market. And that is always what I'm looking for in life. Yeah. When I get up in the morning, I think, how can I get away with this?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. The days of popping it in a bat and pretending you're offering it to a small person in a trench.
How did it get worse? How did we actually get...
trench. Somebody...
I'll tell you, political greatness now. You can't even get your cock out at a farmer's market now. Thanks to bloody women, all the women, the feminists.
Oh, yeah, there'll be all sorts of trouble. We can't get our cocks out at a farmer's market. Unbelievable.
Well, talking of farmers markets, 490, what is the worst thing that a cow has done to you? Ever had any instance with a cow?
Worst thing that a cow's done to me? I used to have cows. Have four cows, pet cows. And one of them nudged me against an electric fence.
Did they?
Yeah. Just went like that. I don't think it was malicious or anything, but just a bit of a, like, oof, like that.
Sounds a bit like, hey, this guy's been keeping us behind this electric fence, let's give him a taste of his own medicine.
Assuming I'm keeping them behind the electric fence. Yeah. Maybe I had an electric fence to stop rustlers getting in.
Yeah.
Could be. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So the electricity was only on the other side of the fence, away from the cows. The cows could nudge up against it.
Yeah,
but for some reason, during this incident, you both popped over the other side of the fence.
I didn't say how hard they nudged me. They nudged me over the fence, and then I landed on it.
Okay.
And then, my wife got sat by it while she was having a piss. That was funny. She was having a piss. She was a little bit too good. Because, as a bloke, it's that thing of people think if you piss on an electric fence, you're going to get zapped. That's not the case. Because there's actually a break in the urine.
Okay.
It's like if you film yourself pissing.
Yeah. I'm going to. I'm going to do it now on my phone. It got to the stage where a man can't urinate on stage in his own podcast.
Unbelievable. Yeah, so, she was having a little wee, just like, a bum just touched the fence.
And how much electricity, because I've got some of those near my house, I've never mind, our dog's
what,
been...
pissing good, women?
No. Probably.
Since he's moved into the area, he's got a whole herd of pissing women. He's just, every morning he comes out whistling, come on, like that. And he come running down with their knickers around their legs like that. It's the most horrible episode of Country Fight anyone's ever seen.
Some electric fences near my house. My dog has walked into one of them, but I have never touched them. Does it give you a proper shock?
There's a low charge. There's a tick, 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 tick. They sort of tick, they go tick, 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 and then they surge. Right. So there's a low level one, so you go, ooh, like that. But then there's the big zap. So you either get like a little ooh like that, or you get the full. So it's all about timing, really.
Yeah, yeah.
So if you're ever trying to break into a military facility, then you've just got to get the timing right,
right.
To break in. What are the, around your house, what are the, it's like a secret lab or something, is it?
There's horses in fields.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think they don't want people to get in or get out of the fields, so they put electric fences on them.
Yeah.
Rabbits, they're in there, it's nice. They can't stop the rabbits. It's very beautiful where I live.
Stop the rabbits.
They can't stop the rabbits. They can't stop them. Tell us about your dead story. Let's go into that. Your story of written down. So let's
this
get that
is
done.
Oh, this is a bit sick now. I'm thinking about it. So this. I just went, oh, there's a thing, and then now I've had time to ruminate. Yeah. I think. Might be an appropriate.
Okay, let's move on. Let's give it a go. We can always just cut this down.
Do you think this?
Hello,
might
be... it's Ross Noble. Thank you, Ross.
Thank you. No, don't beep it like that. Or they'll think we've got a person in a coma who's just. That's what I would do if one of my family was in a hospital and the heart monitor was on, I would deliberately pause as it beeped to pretend I was swearing a lot. So they'd be in the coma like that, and because they could hear the beeping. Beep, beep, beep. And I'd stand there going, wake up, you king. And it'd be like, I was...
That would probably bring them round.
Yeah.
Let's hope that happens. Let's hope that can...
It's better than Boyzone. They do that, don't they?
They do Boyzone, yeah. travel around hospitals. Even to now. People who don't like Boyzone. They go, come on, it's us, Boyzone.
Come on, you can pull through. I was in the Young Frankenstein, the musical there in London's Fashionable West End, and I was with the incredible, I'm going to say incredible, she's truly an incredible human being, Leslie Joseph.
Oh, yes.
Not Dame Leslie Joseph, which I think is a crying shame. It's about time.
Yeah.
Because she's really quite an extraordinary individual. And there was one day she was talking to me, and she sort of doesn't finish one thought before the next one. So you can imagine how a conversation between Leslie and I goes. There was... And we stood there. One day she came and she went, oh, I'm full. And I went, you're right. And she went, I've eaten 2 weeks of an advent calendar. It's incredible, right? And then she went, I was only going to have the first of the month and I've gone for it. They were lovely. And another time she just turned to me and just out of nowhere she went, what was that island I got trapped on with John Nettles? Brilliant. Like, incredible. Like, she makes me laugh more than any other human being on the planet. It was one day, so she was talking about, she's talking about this woman who'd been run over. It was on the news. And she was in all seriousness, but she didn't finish one thought, and then she moved on to the next one. And she went, it was absolutely, absolutely terrible. This young girl, she stepped into the road, and this young boy on a bike went straight into her, and she was killed instantly. Would you like a wine gum? What? And so there's a bit in the show. Why am I telling this publicly? So there's a bit in the show. This is terrible in respect to the dead person's family.
Hopefully they're not listening.
There's a bit. Well, they're dead, aren't they? the family. Anyway, so we were. Oh, God, this is wrong. So we were just about to go on stage, and there's a scene in the show where. I played the Hunchback, and she was playing Frau Blücher, and they go into the lab, and the doctor and his assistant are up on this. They've been on this lab table, and they've gone up into the roof of the lab, and their coats have fallen down, and they walk in there, looking around, and they find the coat, and they're up there, and the scene starts. With Frau Blücher going, Doctor! And I was going, Inga! And the two of them walking around the lab going, Doctor! Inga! Doctor! Inga! Like that. And then they look up and they see the thing, right? So I was literally stood there waiting to go on. I'm all hunched. I'm ready to go. And she turns around and it's like, and the music goes, and that's our entrance, right? But I would say about, we had 3 seconds before we had to walk onto the stage and she went, Sean Hughes, dead at 52. But no, she, dead at 52. Doctor, Inga, doctor. Like, literally, the second before I went upstairs, I was like,
oh, man.
Thanks.
That's not very nice, is
That's
it?
That's not going in, is it?
Nice.
That story.
Not that well.
Yeah.
Oh. It's been a sad day.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com. A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom,
like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
But anyway, we should talk about them because you've been in a couple of Mel Brooks productions since I've seen you last on this stage, at least. Have you met Mel and hung out with Mel Brooks?
Yeah. The first one I did producers, and that was like touring around. That was a touring production, and he'd long since. Where's he going? Look at that. Deeply offended.
Might be deeply offended.
Deeply everything. Need to win. So he'd long since finished that, and then but this one was he'd rewritten it all. So he came over and he was in the rehearsals, and right. So I sent the tape off. Put it on tape first, and then he said, "Oh, Mel wants to talk to you on the phone." I thought it'd be like 5 minutes or something. 2 hours. I was on the phone. Right. I would say about 10 minutes of that was talking about the. What I did, and the rest of it was him just telling showbiz stories. Right. I was going, go on, let that. And then he came over and he did. He was in the rehearsals. He was there every day, and he used to every day just kick the door of the rehearsal room open, and didn't matter what we were doing, and he'd just walk in like that, and he'd go, "No, you're ruining my show." Didn't matter what you were doing, and then and you go, "Mel, can I ask you a question?" And he goes, "No, you can't have more money." And it's just hilarious. He did this thing, we're out for dinner one night, and he always pays, you know, and he sort of, he whenever he gets the bill, he always, checks the bill, he goes, I have the bill. He opens it up and he goes, "Oh my God, oh, too much, oh my God." And I put my credit card to the waitress and said, "Make sure, don't let him pay." And he went over, I could see him arguing with the waitress. He turned around and most people would go, "Oh, thanks for paying for dinner." He didn't have to. And he shouts across the whole restaurant. He goes, "Russ, are you fucking kidding? I got way more money than you." It was like that all the time, constantly. So he was in the rehearsal room for we did 6 weeks or something, and then he was here for 3 months,
right?
And he just just non-stop, just sort of so it was all day, and then we do the show, and then we previewed up in Newcastle. So he came up to Newcastle, so it was that weird thing. It was just like, there's Mel Brooks in Newcastle. It's quite a weird he was around. And there was one night he did this thing. We were, oh God, this is a long story. Right, I'll go as quick as I can.
It's
right.
Okay, we've got here all the time. So we've got to fill it. As long as it's not offensive, we've got quite a lot of time to fill in this one.
So there's a line in the show where Frau Blücher, Les Joseph, says, talking about the original Victor Frankenstein, and says, he said, "Let's play croquet. He carried his hoops and mallets, and I carried his balls," right? It's a classic Mel Brooks line, right? And Mel's, he goes, "What are you going to do? You got to do it." He goes, "And I carried his balls. I carried his balls," like that. And Leslie went, "I carried his balls." And he went, "No, I carried his balls," like that. He had a very specific word. And he goes, "You got to do it just enough. I carried his balls." "I carried his balls." He went, "No, like this. I carried his balls. But don't go balls. You gotta go, I carried his balls," like that. It's obsessed with it. Obsessed with the tiniest details. There's a bit where I had to say, "What a pair." And he goes, "No, it's what a pair." And I go, "What a pair. No, what a pair. What a pair. What a pair. Listen, what a pair." And I go, "What a pair. No. What a pair." "Right? Got, what a pair. No, what a pair." "Oh, what a pair." "That's it. Do it exactly like that. What a pair." Okay. So he's obsessive about these tiny little rhythms and all that sort of stuff. Anyway, there's one night we did a Q&A after the show, And it was all like MasterCard, you know, like competition winners, or like you pay to, you know, come and see this Q&A. And we're doing it like that. And they don't know that Mel's in the theatre, right? And like, it's one of those things where nobody enjoys being Mel Brooks, like, enjoys being who they are more than Mel enjoys being Mel Brooks, right? So like, we're doing all this Q&A and all the rest of it. And then he just pops up out of one, like in one of the boxes, and he goes, "That's right, it's me. Come on, here I am. Okay, get your phones up, take a photo." And it's just like, but he's like this all the time. And he's just like, it's like we were another time we were in a restaurant, and he goes, and he had a hat on and glasses, trying not to get recognised. And somebody recognised me, and he jumped up like that, took his glasses off, and went, "What about me?" You're wearing that as a disguise. "That's right. I normally charge a lot of money for this. You can get it for free. Take a photo." Anyway, so he comes up on stage, and it's one of those things where you sort of, all right, and like you think, oh, brilliant. And part of you, it's just brilliant because he's just going, you know, because he's just on all the time, you know? And he goes, and he walks up on stage, and then he just, all of a sudden, because this is like after the show, and he just remembers that there's certain jokes that he wants to talk about, and he completely disregards the fact that, so he's making these people laugh, and then he just goes, "Oh, I've got these notes I want to give." And he turns around and he goes, I got notes. We're thinking, now's not really the time to be discussing the ins and outs of the show. And the audience, you've never seen a room full of people more confused. He turns around to Leslie and he goes, "Leslie, you got to go harder on the balls." And she went, "Yes, Mel, harder on the balls, harder on the balls." The audience was just like, yeah. Oh, he's great. Oh, yeah. So yeah, yeah, spent like, yeah, weeks and weeks just with him, you know. Just like, but he's a jet, you sort of like forget, you know, it's that thing of, he's like this sort of, you think, oh yeah, he's this little old man, you know, nice little, and then you go, oh God, it's my, you just sort of keep remembering, you know. Yeah, yeah. And in the rehearsals, he'd sit like this close, and you'd be going through it, and if he liked it, he'd be like, if he didn't like it, he'd just sort of tap his head like that, and then like when he did, he'd just fall about laughing, and you go, "You wrote these jokes," do you know what I mean? but yeah, just brilliant. And he just, like, he just sort of like, he sort of look at stuff, and then he just change, he just start rewriting it, and then yeah. And then at one point when we were up in Newcastle, just while we were previewing, oh no, was it? It was down here, yeah. No, it's just before press night. And he kept changing stuff and kept changing stuff. He was trying to make it funnier and funnier. And then the director turned to him and just went, and they've worked together a lot. And he just went, she went, "That's it, Mel. We're not changing any more jokes." And he went, he just said, "No. Oh, fuck it. If I can't change any more jokes, I'm going to Paris with Alan Yentop."
Alan Yentop didn't even know about it. Didn't even know him. I'm going to Paris with Alan Yentop. Find me his number. Find out if he knows who
Yentop,
I am.
Yentop, we're going. We're going to Paris.
I've got some stuff to do. I've got to do Imagine.
Yeah. But a genuine bona fide legend, genius.
And how did you find, obviously your stand-up shows are pretty on the fly and unscripted and you can do what you like. How was it working every night and having to...
It's brilliant. Well, that was the fun thing about it, was it was so tightly... When I did the producers, that was a bit looser, but because he's so obsessive about all the comedy, and Susan Stroman, the director, because she's like a choreographer and a dancer herself, and like she likes everything to be. So it was basically just like taking a thing, and then we were just Hadley Fraser, who played the Doctor. We sort of like his double act. So we just spent like every night we were just honing it and honing it and honing it, and just getting it to the point where we just finding all the tiny love. So it was actually, for me, it was great, because it was that thing of like, you go, right, tonight, that, let's see if we can get that, and just, you know, so, yeah.
And you were nominated for an Olivier Award.
I don't like to talk about it, but yeah, I'm fucking Hamilton! Captain! What? not bitter at all. Yeah, it was.
But it's amazing. The nomination is like an amazing as well. They give some, yeah. You know,
I got a certificate.
Did you?
Got a certificate? That's a kick in the balls, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? I mean, that's a mad thing. I was never expecting an Olivier Award nomination in the first place. And then you start going, you go, all right, okay, if I win this, and this is the bad thing. I wasn't thinking, oh, this will establish me as the elite of musical theatre. I was thinking, they give you a little king. they give you a little bronze king. And I thought, I'd like a bronze king. Yeah. It's like a Laurence Olivier action figure.
Yeah.
But didn't get it.
Could be
Hamilton,
the start of a chessboard if you get a win enough.
Oh, imagine that. I bet Judi Dench, she's got like a
you
full...
Need, you need the full set of Oscars for the pawns.
Yeah,
and
that's
then he can
true.
Be the king.
Well, that's what Mel's office is like. He's right. Literally like in his office. It's just behind him. It's just this desk, and it's like that, and it's just Emmy, Grammy, Oscar, just this big pile of yeah. But I've got a certificate, so yeah, I won the What's on Stage Award. So that's it's not
yeah, that's all right. You know, it's not, but, did you get a trophy for that?
I did, but nobody's given it to me. Oh, so
can't even use it as a chess piece.
Should probably have a little look at it. Yeah. But yeah, that was great. Oh God, you know, because we had that weird thing of like you know comedy awards and that. I know this sounds like a really arrogant thing to say, but it was comedy awards. You go, yeah, but yeah, fine. I expect to win them. But I never expected to win the, you know, get these. It's musical theatre, song and dance, man. Brilliant. Loved it. But I couldn't go to the awards because I was on tour.
Yeah.
So just as well.
Yeah.
Still, I sit there with my certificate.
Oh, look, I meant you can't have a drink. You don't. You used to drink and
nope.
Then you've given, never drunk.
Never drunk.
Never taken the old nose cocaines. The old
nose cocaines. No, never been up my street. All of that.
Because even though on the last podcast you said you never had cocaine. Loads of the comments on YouTube and it was, yeah, that's what you have when you take too much cocaine. So, but because you don't need to take any kind of drugs. You like this already?
Yes.
Yeah. But anyway,
I've heard it's good, though.
Beer's really good. If you like beer, you can get 8 free beers from beer52.com/ if you put /Rehullister on the end. This one's called Vanilla Killer. It's actually full of poison. I didn't realise till I drank it. It's a Russian nerve agent. But it tastes really good. They're strong, though. George's friend, George the Sound guy's friend, was going, oh, it's a bit too strong for me, because his friends are a bit... can't say the drink like I can. I'm not really drinking at the moment either, so this is I'm quite drunk on half a bottle of Vanilla Killer.
And is the idea
from Bundhaus?
Is the idea that you get the look at that? What's that?
Yeah.
Tannenzapfel.
Yeah, exactly. You get 8 different craft beers every month. The first lot's free, and then you can join up, get these free ones. Then fuck off.
Yeah.
Beer52 haven't thought it through. They don't know that I'm going to say, just take the free ones, then leave. I think they'll think you're going to forget, and you probably will, because you'll be drunk 8 of these.
But it's 8 a week.
No, 8 a month, so it's every month, I think. That's why I think it's weird it's called Beer52, because it sort of implies it's going to be every week, right?
52 weeks.
It's 52
a year.
Weeks in a year. That's what that was my maths.
Yeah.
But it's
8 a
beer,
month.
Beer 12. Yeah, maybe it works out if you do 8. Maybe it's 1 a... No, it's 2 a week, isn't it?
It's 5 weeks in some months, isn't it? But that's probably like you have a dry week.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if... What about... This is an idea for Beer 52.
Yeah.
Why not tap into the lucrative alcoholic market?
Yeah.
Right? People who have genuine substance abuse problems, right? And then, right, send them the beers, but each week... Send them one less. Right? You see? And then by Christmas, they've got their life back on track.
Yeah. Just wore them down. If everyone got their beer from Beer 52, and then just it was beer to begin with, and then just increasingly slightly less alcohol in them, they'd think, oh, I'm drinking.
And then everyone's off. They're not drinking anymore.
If they had any.
In many ways, I'm like the new Russell Brand.
Look at that one. That's a Choco Stout from Germany. You won't be able to get these after March next year, but these are all from Germany.
Yeah, but hang on. If Checkers, is it Checkers goes through?
Oh, yeah,
through,
the Checkers is going to go
Checkers, you'll
Checkers
be allowed
right
to
through.
You'll be allowed to drink a big straw. Somebody will be able to hold that out the Eurostar, and you'll be able to just... You'll be able to drink it.
Yeah.
They'll pour it into, like, you know those things that they used to have where they drop the mail off on the old in the old west.
Yeah,
it'll be like that. That's under checkers. Yeah. So you've got to push for that.
It's good they put that in.
That's all going well, isn't it? Our Brexit.
It's going really well. It's going great. It's going to be fine. I think
some beer is better than no beer. That's what beer 52
say. They do say that, but I say no beer is better than some beer. That's what I say.
Yeah.
That's why I'm very much behind hard Brexit, no deal, hard Brexit. That's
what
I'm.
Is that what you're going for now?
I'm right behind it.
We might as well. I mean, we've come this far.
Yeah.
That's just.
Well, I want
going off a cliff edge, but as long as it's a British cliff.
Yeah.
As long as it's Beachy Head. I think anyone that says we're not going off a cliff is disrespecting Beachy Head. And they're the very cliffs that Vera Lynn sang about. So, yeah, come on, get behind it.
Yeah. Also, if we do no deal hard Brexit, then all the people who voted to leave can't complain. But if anything is... they can go, yeah. It's because you compromised very slightly with the European. That's why it hasn't worked. So to make it...
Why do
it has to really go down the toilet. A lot of us will have to die... And Menace won't have any food or money. But when we come out of it in 70 years' time, we can go, see, you were wrong. It was definitely wrong, and it was your fault. You're 52%.
Why don't we start pushing, instead of a hard Brexit,
yeah.
Why don't we start a campaign for an extra hard Brexit?
Yeah.
Super hard Brexit. Super hard. Where we literally do trade with nobody. Right? Where we literally cut ourselves off from no one's allowed in or out, right? No one's allowed to export anything or import anything.
What
right?
about people can make stuff, but then they have to just chuck it in a big fire?
Oh, no, you can still make stuff. That's fine.
You just can't sell it to anyone.
But you're only allowed to sell directly to the people, not even like... Orkney or Shetland. It has to be. You have to be able to deliver it overland, right? That's the only. And then that way it'll encourage British businesses.
That's true.
And it'll stimulate the economy because that's all you'll be able to buy. Extra hard Brexit. And then once we've got it up and running, we then start just letting the Chinese in, maybe. Why don't we sell Northern Ireland? Joking! Jesus Christ! I'm clearly just feel genuinely go. Oh no!
No, I don't think we could.
No, that's
could we? Like, but then they're thinking. But could we? That would solve the problem.
Imagine,
you might have solved imagine, it. Theresa May, can we solve it?
So if she just went, there's no way out of this, and she went, listen, I've got it, right? We just flog Northern Ireland, right? What, to the Irish? No, sell it to the Far East. You know what I mean? We just flog it. We sell our interest. We go, well, what are you going to do?
Don't tell them there's a little border issue there. Yeah, no, it's fine. Don't look at the border. It's fine. No, it's going to just buy. This is lovely.
It's all good.
There's a lot of angry people live here.
Sell it off and then use that money,
yeah.
You know, to build the fires that we're going to chuck stuff on.
Were the majority right when they crucified Jesus? That's my question to you. Yeah, they were. That wasn't a good example.
I've never been on Question Time, have you?
No, I've been asked, but I don't fancy it.
No.
I think it's a bit of a poison chalice for a comedian as well.
Yeah.
It's like, but also you're saying, so I've been on This Week and that was not good. Hold on, I had something I wanted to talk to you about somewhere. No,
is it written down?
Some of it's written down. Oh, who's your favourite celebrity, apart from yourself, associated with Cramlington, where you came from? There aren't that many to choose from. There's a lot of footballers, is all I'd say.
Well, Mark Clattenburg, he's the referee, isn't he? I would say probably Ray Stevenson, that played Punisher. He was not from Cramlington, but he spent some time there.
He did.
And also, I mean, it's not really a celebrity, but there was a Zeppelin base there many years ago before it became a new town. And the highest building's Manor Walk Shopping Centre.
Is it good? It's good to know.
Before you ask.
I wasn't going to ask. Right, Sting taught at Sting taught at the school, the Roman Catholic school.
Yeah, but Sting taught at every school. I went to school with John Lennon.
No, he didn't.
It's like Sting, yeah, he did.
They kept moving around because he kept on getting the girl standing too close to him, didn't he? I like you wouldn't do that. You couldn't write that song now, could you? A 30-year-old man couldn't write a song about being a teacher and being upset that girls are standing too close to him at school.
But wasn't that the point of
Well, it was, but he still was allowed to get away with it, wasn't he?
I don't think you could sing She Was Only 16. Only 16.
No,
she was too young to fall in love, yeah. And I was too young to know. That was the lyric.
Yeah.
Couldn't write that now.
No.
It's different times.
You could write it, but you just couldn't show it to anyone. Well,
I wonder what all them scribbles were on the back of the book. But I think that was. I think Sting was. Just look at your watch.
I'm just checking what time is this. Time's flown by.
Yeah. So
Sting.
I think,
I had him down. Ray Stevenson, who was in Rome. He played the guy in Rome, the Geordie guy in Rome.
So I think Sting was. It was a tale of. I think it was like a tale. Like it was a. A tale of ooh, this is bad. I don't think Sting was good.
I think he was a little bit.
Do you think so?
Yeah, I think a little bit.
Have you heard the story about Tommy Cooper and Sting?
No.
Brilliant. Tommy Cooper was like Sting was like a massive fan of Tommy Cooper, so he played. He got them to support the police at Milton Keynes Bowl, right at the height of their fame, and he come on stage, and there was just like everyone just, and it was at a time when Tommy Cooper wasn't held up as comedy legend. He was sort of in one of his lulls, and they got him to play, and he was stood on stage, and he was getting a slow hand clapped off, and he's there on stage. He's got all his props, and people start throwing stuff at him. And he kept doing his act because he only had to do like 10 minutes. And he's smoked out, fuck off. And all the shit's flying out of there and gets booed off. And there's just shit everywhere. And apparently, he walked off the stage and he turned to Sting and he went, follow that.
Oh, good. So you're on tour.
I am.
Your new show, El Hablador.
I am, yes. When's this going out?
I don't know.
It's probably after the tour's finished.
About a month.
All right.
Two weeks.
Yeah, all right. Yeah, it's the start of November. I'm back in London.
Oh, yeah.
At the London Palladium for...
Nice.
For 2 nights. And nice. Then, but the rest of the country, if it goes out earlier.
Yeah.
Oh, and I'm doing ones in December. I'm on tour, yeah.
Yeah, so yeah. What's...
yeah.
Who are you, El Hablador? Is that you?
Yeah, I am. Yeah, there's a big song. I've got this big song at the start.
Yeah.
That talks about the legend of El Hablador.
Yeah.
But it turns out there is no legend of El Hablador. It's something that I've made up.
Okay.
And there's a song about how I've made it up.
Okay.
At the very start, it's a full audio visual spectacular.
Oh, it sounds good.
And then the silk curtain drops, and then I've got a giant skull.
Yeah.
Inflatable skull. About with wings about 40 foot across.
Nice.
About 20 foot high. And there's a smoke machine and it lights up and flashes and I come out of its mouth and then never mention it for the rest of the show. And it really makes me laugh because at the end, I do questions at the end. I say, any questions? And then some dickhead always goes, what have you got a big skull for? And I go, because it's funny that you never mention it. And you mentioning it's made me laugh even more. So,
How much did the big skull cost to make?
Shitloads.
Yeah.
Absolutely shitloads. Yeah. I could have just had a black curtain and a swimming pool.
And you've got to transport it. Does it go down to a suitcase?
It fits in a van.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's all good.
I looked into getting inflatables for my 50 tour, then I decided just to have it painted on the back of the backdrop.
Yeah.
It was about 10 grand cheaper.
Yeah.
And it was the same. I couldn't have walked through it, though.
Yeah, no, this is a full 3-D extravaganza.
Yeah, that's good.
In many ways, people have had their money's worth before I even speak. So it takes the pressure off the show somewhat. You and just go, what? I'm not enjoying this. Don't care. You've had your fun.
And how much of it is, do you know what you're going to say, and how much of it is, you don't know what you're going to say?
Entirely scripted every night. Every word.
Yeah, good.
Literally every word. There's a through line and a thing. Just play with ideas, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I get an idea and then I think, oh, that's good. I'll do that tomorrow and then I'll do the start of it and then forget to do the second bit of it or I'll do the end of it and just smash it around. So it's sort of just like, what's the best way of putting it? It's not like a list of jokes. It's like a load of pictures that I smash together.
Yeah.
Does that answer your question?
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how all comedy's written, really.
Yeah.
Just some of us can remember what we did the night before.
Well, we didn't all go to fancy universities.
It's mainly what they taught me at university is how to write a through line in a comedy show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It isn't, writing stuff isn't, down, though, isn't it?
It's right. I never write stuff down. I forget nearly everything.
Yeah.
I can't bear to listen back. I mean, I had to listen to myself. Luckily, it was mainly you. Right. Today, just to check we didn't talk about the same things we talked about 5 years ago. What I've done is just talk about things that have happened in the last 5 years. It was the easiest thing to have done. But instead, I had to listen to you for an hour and a half, or talking to you for an hour and a half. Fucking hell.
Unbelievable.
My life's awful.
How do you think my wife feels?
Yeah.
She's got this shit all the time.
Mine
doesn't
yeah.
have to do the research.
Doesn't have to look it up on the internet. To be fair, I only did a page and a half on you. I did loads on Amanda Abington. Yeah. Loads. But, you know, at least in 2 weeks' time, I'll be ahead of the game on that, won't I?
Well, you can ask me her questions.
Yeah, I'll ask you one of her questions.
Yeah, go on.
You play a lot of police officers.
Yeah.
Why is that?
Because I failed to get into the police.
Okay.
And I'm living out my fantasies.
Okay.
That's probably why.
You have played five characters in The Bill. Can you name those five characters that you've played in The Bill?
PC 1, PC 2, PC 3.
No, they are. Let's see if she knows. I'll ask her that as well.
Well, do you want to see it now? Because you might be listening.
Oh, she
to
might
this.
Listen and then learn it, yeah. Yeah, clever. But now she might hear that question and then go, I'm going to learn the five characters.
Yeah. Do you remember do you remember when Paul O'Grady was in The Bill?
Don't remember that.
Yeah.
What
he
did he play?
He played like a prostitute.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay. Played Lily Savage, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. Was that before Lily Savage or after?
I think
Lily?
So, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
It's a fun fact about The Bill.
It's good.
And I think
everyone's been in The Bill. Have you been in The Bill?
No, never.
No, I've not been in The Bill. We're the only two people in entertainment who've never been in The Bill.
I think Rick Mayall was in The Bill, wasn't
Probably
he?
Was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was in The Bill.
Who else was in The Bill?
PC Tony Stump. He was in it.
Yeah, he was in The Bill.
Do you ever see that... you know when they used to do police camera action before they were on the telly and you had to buy them in shops? Do you remember that? You buy a VHS.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
Police
yeah.
chases. And I had one once. I bought this and I put it in. And it was the fella from The Bill. And he went, and he's got the full police uniform on and he's leaning on a car. And he goes, hello there. I'm PC Tony Stamp. Right. He actually said that. I'm PC Tony Stamp. And then he paused. And he took the hat off and he went, not really. I'm the actor. And then he said his name.
I'm the actor who plays PC. I don't know my own name either.
It was genuine. He took the hat off as if to go, fuck, that's not PC Tony Stamp. He's taken that. Oh, my God. He's got a head. He's actually got a head under there. And there was, it was brilliant. I kept that for years, that VHS. It's a brilliant one where it said, a group of young girls see a disgusting homeless man in the street. He see a disgusting homeless man. He shouts obscenities at them. And then they go into a shop and return, and egged on by bravado and peer pressure, they attack him. With silly string.
Silly string.
But you go, it's silly string. Silly string. Like, what sort of string did they attack him with? Silly string. Yeah. And then there was another one. He was like a flasher. And they said, it said something like, thanks to CCTV. Look at this man exposing himself in the street. Now, thanks. It was because of CCTV just coming. Thanks to CCTV, you can, you can mock him, shame him, or just despise him. In the comfort of your own home. He's sitting around just going, what are we going to watch tonight, love? I'd quite like to despise a flasher. Have you got any despise VHSs? Get the despise one in. Put it in. Oh, look at that. Oh, bloody hell. It's PC. Oh, it's not PC Tony Stamp. It's not. It was incredible.
Oh,
yeah.
Alan Shearer he could have had. Alan Shearer.
He's not from... He lived there. I don't think he was...
Well, he lived there. That's enough, isn't it?
Yeah, all right. I'll give you that. Yeah, Alan Shearer. Who else?
Yeah. That's it.
Yeah. Oh, no. Didn't Joe McKeldry, didn't he live there for a while?
Don't know who that is.
He's a young person singer.
Okay.
He was on The X Factor.
According to Wikipedia, he didn't. And that's where I get my information from. That's all my facts.
Well, I think we might have talked about this before. If you're going off Wikipedia, I was not a backing singer for the Kane Gang who sang the theme to Biker Grove. That is true. That is absolutely true. Somebody's put that on Wikipedia.
No, it wasn't on there.
Biker. So the backing singer would just have gone, Grove. Grove. What's that? Turning up to the studio. What you got for me, lads? There's the sheet. You need to go through the... Grove. Lovely. Thanks. Same time next week. Yeah.
They sing it live? We should record this now. Yeah. Let's keep music live.
Every week. They would be sitting there with the bass. Yeah, and the actors as well.
Yeah.
They used to do they'd film the show in advance, but the bit where they jumped up on the trampoline, that was done live. Yeah.
Do you ever see Spuggy around in...
Saw Spuggy once when I went to see Voyage of the Dawn Treader at the Newcastle Playhouse.
Right.
And
was she in it?
No, she was just sat down the front. She was there and somebody I was with went, "Oh, Spuggy!" And you saw her go... Oh. But she's like, you know, she's like a 45-year-old woman now. She still wanders around with people going, "Oh, Spooky!" I was in Biker Grove as an extra. I'll pop up in a few. I used to do quite a lot of sort of extra work and stuff. I was like Spender and Biker Grove and Catherine Cookson's as well.
Okay.
But I always used to, because they were doing them so quickly, that, like, I used to do little things like this one scene where they're down at the beach and me and my mate had to walk past in the background. So obviously you can't do like silly things because you'll get notes, but you can do little subtle things. So what we do is we had to walk past with these like holding ice creams. So we snapped the bottom of the cones off. So the cones were just tiny like that. And then we scooped the ice cream so it looked like we had tiny ice creams. And then we just walked past in the background. With these tiny little ice creams, and they're just going like, if Jeff finds out that we're taking drugs, the Grove could close. Walking past in the background, and then there was another one. There's another one in a nightclub, and everyone has to, and obviously, like, you can't play the music because it has to just be. See, everyone has to dance silently. And there was all these, like, young kids. We were much older than all these kids. We were all about 12 or something. We were, like, 14, 15 at the time. So we were significantly bigger than everyone else. It just looked weird. And so everyone sort of... And all these kids were just sort of standing there. And me and my mate were, like, really giving it. So I thought, oh, we'll definitely get seen in the background. And the sort of AD says, right. He said, you're not dancing enough. There's music playing, so you have to... Anywhere else, he went... Just copy what these two are doing, right? So we're in the club, so we're dancing around, and then as soon as they start the take like that, we start dancing like cowboys. So we do this, right? And then I pull out like a fake gun, like firing off the guns. And all of these kids are copying what we're doing. So there's like a hoedown happening in the thing. And our ding, 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 like that. So we're doing all this. And then, and I sort of checked to see whether, because, you know, obviously if it was like a kind of a, like it was a tight shot and it's just movement in the background, that's, but it wasn't. It was like, it was sort of like a mid shot. And they were going so quickly. So somewhere there's a, yeah, there's an episode of Biker Grove where they're in a nightclub and it's like all rave music and everyone's just doing a hoedown. And there's another one. There's an episode of Spender where me and my mate are we're in a so we're behind Spender and he pulls up in his car. But we looked at it and we sort of realised that we were pushing a. It was at the airport and it had the trolley. And we realised that if we weren't going to make it into the shot because they'd started us too far back. So so they go like, and action, like that. And he gets out of his car. And I said, we're going to have to get a move on here, like this. And I'm like, there's an action. And we just start legging it, pushing the trolley. And everything's like rattling around. And the fella comes over and he just goes, you're going too fast. And I went, we're late for the flight.
Oh dear, we're gonna have to wrap it up, Ross.
Let me do one more. There's one more. There's one.
If we go on much longer, Amanda Abington will be able to do next week's one.
Look, there's another one in the in one of the Catherine Cookson's, where there's a veterans hospital. They've all come back from the First World War, and they give me a bandage, and I was sort of had a dressing gown on, and they sat me in this wheelchair, and the main character, it's Catherine Zeta Jones, was in this one, and they had to walk past like that, and there's all these, like, you know, wounded soldiers and that, and they sort of gave me a bandage around my head. So I thought, because no one's looking at the X-ray, it's just shapes in the background. So I took the bandage off, and instead of having it round my head, I tied it under my chin, and then tied it on the top, you know, like Laurel and Hardy when they've got toothache, like that. And then I sat there like that, and then I was perfectly still. And as they walked past, I started dribbling and rocking. So somewhere. And every now and again, it'll be on, like, you know, like ITV 3 or whatever, you know, classic drama and all the rest of it. And you see, like, I think it's Clive or Lloyd or one of them, and he says, well, yes, we've got to get back to the front. And you know, got to start somewhere, haven't you?
That's basically what you did in Young Frankenstein, so you're off.
Exactly.
Yes. For Olivier, you nominated comedian. Ladies and gentlemen, please give it up, fantastic guest, Ross Noble! Thank you for coming back. You have been listening to Richard Herring's Leicester Square Theatre podcast with me, Richard Herring, and my guest, Ross Noble. The music, as ever, is by Pest. Thank you to everyone at the Leicester Square Theatre, the British Comedy Guide, Go Past the Stripe, including Chris Evans. Not that one or that one. The other one, the one from Wales. I am indebted to my producer, Ben Walker.
Our executive producer was Darren King.
This is a Fuzz, GoFasterStripe.com and Sky Potato production, and it goes out upon the internet via podcast. I hope you've enjoyed it. Goodbye.
Witness history at Roland Garros, where old rivalries meet new talent on the clay battleground. Tennis Channel Plus is your place to watch. Stream every court from your phone or smart TV live in HD. Experience 3 weeks of unparalleled access as the world's top players in tennis face off to see if the veterans maintain their dominance or if a fresh face rises to challenge them. Daily live coverage of the French Open begins Monday, May 20th. Stream it now with Tennis Channel Plus to be there when it happens.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Thanks for listening. RichardHerring.com/gigs. GoFasterStripe.com for all my books, downloads, all that sort of shizzle. Oh, yeah, I know all the cool words. And would love to see you on the Can I Have My Ball Back tour if you can make it. Bye.